have your Bible this morning and want to read with me what I feel like the Lord has placed on my spirit and placed upon my heart today, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of John. So John chapter 20 and verse 19. John chapter 20, beginning with the 19th verse. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. The scripture says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, or so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I ask that you bow your heads and pray with me, that the Lord will anoint our service today and anoint me to speak his word. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that you have given unto us together here today in your name. Thank you for the opportunity to share the word of the Lord this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would divinely inspire my thoughts, that you would inspire what I speak this morning. Use me as an instrument to further the work of your kingdom, to cause individuals to grow in their relationship with you. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give me divine capability. For in my own self, I acknowledge I am incapable of this task. But I pray that you would anoint me with your Holy Spirit and empower what is spoken here this morning. Let it fall upon hearts and ears that are touched of God to both hear and to receive. Glorify your name and edify your people. And we ask these things in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So as you can see on our overhead this morning, I want to title the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart, The Great Exchange. The Great Exchange. This morning, as we begin to look into God's Word, I want us to examine some of the powerful differences that came about in the hearts of the disciples when they realized that Jesus was alive and that he was raised from the dead. And we are a few weeks removed, of course, from Resurrection Sunday. And if you were here, you know that Houston did a fantastic job ministering for us. And I, if you were not here and weren't able to be in that service, I encourage you to go back and listen to his message online. It will bless your soul. But I realize that we are a few weeks removed from Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday as it relates to the calendar. But this past week, the Holy Spirit began to move in my heart and begin to bring me to this setting of scripture. I have preached on these scriptures in the past, but it was around Easter time or around Resurrection Sunday, and the Lord had me go another way with it. But this morning, the Lord began to deal with me this past week about bringing out some differences that the disciples realized in their heart when they understood that Jesus was alive. When they understood that Christ had really risen from the dead, they had some powerful changes in their hearts. I submit to you this morning that the moment that they realized that Jesus was alive, it was one of the most powerful and one of the most pivotal moments in their life. In fact, it was one of the most powerful and pivotal moments in all of Scripture. In fact, I would dare say that it's one of the most powerful and pivotal moments, amen, in all of world history. mean, what good is a dead Christ to us? But he was alive. Amen. It went from BC to AD. It was a world-changing moment. What a difference this morning that a living Christ can make in our hearts and in our lives. The moment that Jesus came into their presence after he was resurrected, that was a moment that would change the course of the world. And it was a moment that I can only describe as the great exchange. There was a definite change in their attitude. There was a change in their life. There was a change in their countenance, and there was a change in their hearts. And I would submit to you this morning that when the presence of the Lord comes into our life, he desires to bring that same kind of change. Consider with me the text. The Bible says in that 19th verse, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, it's Sunday night, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood. Nobody opened the door. Hello? Nobody heard a knock at the door. They just were surrounded in this room by four walls, and all of a sudden, Jesus just simply appears in their midst. I don't know about you, that might have shook me up. But he says unto them, peace be unto you. In the theater of your mind this morning, imagine what the mood of that room must have been like as they were gathered there that Sunday evening. There were 10 disciples. We know by scripture that Judas had hanged himself. We also know by scripture that Thomas was not there that night. So there were 10 disciples, and there were others, some of the women and some of the ladies that had been to the tomb early that morning, early that Sunday morning, and came back with the report that he was no longer there. They're gathered in that room. They had been eyewitnesses to all of the events of the preceding week. They had watched as the Jewish leaders and the Jewish rabbis had instigated the persecution and the prosecution of their leader. They were there. They were firsthand eyewitnesses. They heard firsthand the verdict as it was rendered, and Jesus was condemned to die. And they are gathered in this room, and they are fearful for their own life, fearing that the same thing that had happened unto their leader was in their future. And they were afraid. They had witnessed the horrible beating that Christ took as the Roman soldiers beat him with a cat of nine tails. They were there, and they witnessed the crucifixion. They watched in horror as they drove the nails into his feet and into his hands. And they were there when Jesus took his last breath and gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished." And they watched him die. And some of them were there when they wrapped his lifeless body in grave clothes and they rolled the stone in front of the tomb. Understand how they must have felt. Many of them, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they had forsaken their business to follow him. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were commercial fishermen. They had forsaken their nets. They had forsaken their work so that they could follow this man. Matthew, a tax collector, amen, he was an employee of the Roman government, and he left it all behind so he could follow this man. And for 3.5 years, they listened to his message and listened to his word. And for 3.5 years, they watched as he opened the blinded eyes and made the dumb to talk and the deaf to hear and the lame to leap and raised up the dead. They watched him multiply bread and walk on water. They had seen the mighty miracles of this man. And for 3.5 years, they had devoted their life to this man and his message and his mission. They had often watched in astonishment as he did the impossible, and suddenly the rug is pulled out from under their feet. Suddenly the rug is literally pulled out from under their feet, and the one who they knew was the Messiah had died, and they buried him, and now the women come and say he's alive, and they don't know what to think, and they're locked in a room fearing for their lives. Suddenly, out of nowhere, in the midst of all of this turmoil and in the midst of all of this confusion and in the midst of all of this that's going through their minds, Jesus appears in their midst and says, "Peace be unto you." And the moment that he entered that room, he changed their lives forever. Beloved, let me just tell you something this morning, that same Jesus that entered into the room that night, the Bible said, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when the presence of God enters into our life, he will bring a change within our hearts. He'll bring a change within our attitude. He'll bring a change in our spirit. He'll give us new life. Amen. The good news that I came to tell you this morning is not that Jesus lived and died for our sin, but the good news that I came to share is the same Jesus that died, he now lives again, and he still has the power to change hearts and lives. And the old chorus says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Amen. Because he lives, we can confidently look toward the future this morning. And because he lives, no weapon that is formed against us will be able to prosper. I came to tell someone this morning that when Christ comes into our hearts by faith and the presence of the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of us, that we too can experience the same kind of change that the disciples felt in their life that night. He radically changed their life. In a matter of moments, how did he change their life? I am so glad you asked. Because I got about 25 minutes to get 4 points out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or not. But consider with me this morning 4 very specific areas that our text reveals to us where he changed their life. Number one, the first exchange was that they traded their fear for peace. They traded their fear for peace. When Jesus entered into that place, it was dominated by fear. But when Christ walked into that room, he flooded it with his peace. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. You can look around this world, and this world is a fearful, frightening place. But I got some news for you this morning. If you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. God has everything under control for our lives. When Jesus appeared in that room, it was an atmosphere filled with fear and anxiety. It was a room that was filled with turmoil and uncertainty. It was a room that was filled with terror and trepidation. But when Jesus, presence moved in, he said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." That's the same kind of words that he used when they were out on the ocean in the storm. You will find it in Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 35. The Bible said that Jesus says to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And they set out to set sail to go over to the other side in perfect tranquility. And the Bible said, suddenly there arose a storm. And it got so bad that the disciples, who were seasoned sailors, thought that they were about to go under. And when Jesus was awakened, you know the story, the Bible said that he said to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, when they entered into that ship, they had no idea they were going to encounter that storm. But they also had no reason to be afraid, because the master of the waves of Blue Galilee was right there with them. I got news for you this morning. You can look at the fearful world and not have fear in your heart, because the master is with us. Hallelujah. He said, "Peace be still." What happened when Jesus said, "Peace be still"? The Bible said there was a great calm. I love that. Here's what the scripture says: there arose a storm. And then the scripture says, and he arose, and there was a great calm. Well, let God arise in your life this morning. Let God arise in your spirit this morning, and he will exchange your fear for peace. We have no reason to be fearful today. Amen. If fear is dominating your heart, then I got some good news for you this morning. He will exchange your fear for peace. Here they are, locked away in that room, fearing for their life, and the presence of Christ enters that room, and he says, "Peace be unto you." What happened? The same thing that happened on the storm that night. There was a great calm. Amen. What happened when he said, "Peace be unto you"? The hearts of the disciples went, "Hey, it's Jesus. I have nothing more to fear. I have nothing more to fear." What I'm saying this morning is that when his presence comes into our life and we become aware of his presence will bring peace. Here's what the Bible says about peace in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord." Keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, and he'll give you perfect peace. Psalms 29 and verse number 11 said, "The Lord will give strength unto his people." The Lord will bless his people with peace. Isaiah 54 and verse 13 says, "And the children, thy children, shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of the children of God." Isaiah 55 and verse 12 says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led by peace." Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? You can have some peace in your heart. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Let his presence come in. John 16, 33 said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. Philippians 4:17 said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I came to tell somebody this morning that if you are walking in fear, amen, God has a great exchange that he'd like to make with you this morning, and he would like to give you some of the peace of God. Hallelujah. Two artists were asked to paint a picture that depicted peace and serenity. Two artists were asked if they would paint a picture that would just embody peace and serenity. The first painter painted a beautiful scene. In the foreground was a lake and a calm surface surrounded by beautiful grassy meadows, stretched as far as the eye could see. Cattle were grazing in the lush field. In the reflection of the nearby lake, there was a small cottage. A little fire, smoke coming up from the chimney. Bathed in the skies as the sun was setting, the skies were bathed with scarlet, and everything looked peaceful and calm. The second artist took another approach, and he painted a different scene. He painted a wild, stormy scene with heavy black clouds rolling ominously overhead, lightning flashing through the darkness, and a torrential rain falling upon that portrait, a raging river plunging off of a high cliff, bouncing onto the rocks below. In the center of the portrait, the water was crashing, and the rocks, amen, in a never-ending display of power. But nearby, in that painting, the artist painted a small bird in the cleft of the rock, sitting upon the nest. They were asked which artist depicted peace and serenity. It was determined that both artists had achieved their objective. The truth of the matter is that both artists captured the concept of peace and serenity, because there are times in our life when we will experience both the calm and the storm. There are times in our life that we will experience both, amen, the calm and the tranquil, and there are times when we will experience the tempest and the storm. The first painter captured the tranquil and the calm. The second painter captured the storm and the tempest, but they both captured a sense of peace. And beloved, whether we are walking in our life beside still waters or whether we are going through the storm of our life, we can have peace because we are sheltered in the very arms of the Most High God. And the Bible said that he never sleeps and he never slumbers, and he knows what we have need of before we even ask. What I'm saying this morning is you can be going through chaos and still have peace in your heart. You can be going through the storms of life and the trials of life and still have peace in your spirit. Exchange your fear for peace. The second great exchange that took place there that evening was they exchanged their sorrow for joy. They exchanged their sorrow for joy. Yes, they exchanged their fear for peace, but they also exchanged their sorrow for joy. Can you just imagine the long faces in the crowd that night, fearing for their life, all of the events of the previous week, Jesus being crucified and all of that, all of those things, and now he stands alive in their midst. Look at verse number 20. Verse 19 says he appears to them and says, peace be unto you. Verse 20 says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then this is what the scripture says. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I think that's an understatement. Hello? One translation says they were overjoyed. I mean, in other words, they had themselves an overdose of joy. They came to life. They realized that he was alive. Let me just share with you this morning that when it comes to joy, amen, we have to either be the enemy's victim or Christ's victor. Understand this morning that joy is not the absence of suffering. Understand that joy is not the absence of suffering. Joy is not the absence of afflictions or troubles or trial. Joy is not the absence of hardships and difficulties, but joy is found in the very presence of God. Amen. Joy is found in the presence of God. Let me give you some scripture. Romans 14:17 said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a list of rules and regulations. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Psalm 16:11 said, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalms 30:5 said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Ecclesiastes 2:16 said that God gives to every man that is right in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. We may be going through some hardships, and we may be going through some trials, and we may be going through some afflictions, but he will still give us a song in the night. Need a biblical example? Acts 16. Paul and Silas had been beaten, blood running down their back, locked in the inner part of the prison. Amen. But the Bible said at midnight, they begin to pray and they begin to sing praise unto God. Amen. They may have took their freedom, but they didn't take their joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength this morning. Don't let the enemy rob you of your joy. And you can go through hell and high water and still have a song in your heart. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you're not living on joy. You're living on happiness. Let me just explain something to you real quick this morning. Happiness is a fruit of the flesh. Happiness is a fleshly emotion. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Hello? Get a new dress and you're happy. Spill grape juice on the new dress and you're unhappy. Get your tax payment back and you're happy. You got to pay in and you're unhappy. Being self-employed, I always pay in. Hello? Get a new car and you're happy. You always notice they make that payment come due a couple of months after you get the new car. And then you got to make the payment and you're not so happy. Hello? Happiness is an emotion of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is, amen, joy. You can have fruit of the Spirit no matter what you are going through, no matter what you're encountering. You can have joy in your spirit because in his presence there is fullness of joy. If you don't have any joy in your soul this morning, the enemy will run right over you because the joy of the Lord is what strengthens us. The joy of the Lord is what gives us hope. And the joy of the Lord is what causes us to get back up and keep trying. And again, don't let the enemy rob you of your joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Happiness is a roller coaster ride. One day you're up, one day you're down. I've always said that happiness is wishy-washy. One day it wishes that way and it washes the other way. But joy can be a constant thing. Because it don't come from things. It comes from God. It comes from the presence of the Lord. Amen. This morning, if you need some joy in your spirit, I'm here to tell you the disciples had a great exchange that night, and they exchanged their sorrow for joy, the joy that the world can't give and the world can't take away, joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. God will give you the same kind of experience this morning. Hallelujah. They traded their fear for peace. They traded their sorrow for joy. Number three, they exchanged their aimlessness for purpose. They traded their aimlessness for purpose. Now just imagine, here are these men that have left their fishing industry. They followed this man to hear his message and listen to him and follow his mission, and now he has been crucified. At one point in the scripture, you can read where Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to fishing. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. They were aimless. They were aimless, huddled in that room, fearing with uncertainty ahead. They are aimless and without purpose. They are pointless. They are in a complete state of a lack of direction. They had no sense of purpose. And when Jesus walked into that room, he exchanged their aimlessness for purpose. And he said to them, look at verse 21. He said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I'm about to give you something to do. I'm about to give you a mission. I'm about to set your course of life. As the Father has sent me, don't be hanging around here aimless. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. I have a job for you to do. Amen. Some of us feel a little aimless in life. Amen. Because we ain't doing what he's called us to do. Some of us are feeling a little aimless in life. Amen. Because we haven't determined, okay, Lord, I want to fulfill your purpose for my life. Help me, Jesus. The disciples went from not knowing what to do to having a purpose in life. They went from not knowing what to do to knowing exactly what he wanted them to do. Even as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Beloved, let me just tell you something. We can only find true fulfillment in life when we find purpose. When we find purpose. And the good news is that when we invited Christ into our life, we also received purpose into our life. And that purpose is to represent him and to live like him and to be like him to the best of our ability. That we might be salt and light, and that we might be a witness of his grace, his mercy, and his power. Far too many this morning are living without purpose, and they go from one project to another, finding that accomplishment, amen, does not necessarily guarantee fulfillment. You hear what I'm saying? Accomplishment does not necessarily mean fulfillment. And I submit to you this morning that the reason that that is so is that living with purpose means more than just accomplishing a goal. Understand what I'm saying this morning. Understand that there is a difference between purpose and a goal. Purpose is not a goal. A goal is something that we can reach or something that we can achieve. But true purpose exists long before we exist. Let me give you a biblical example of that. Pastor Gary, what do you mean? I'm telling you that when God has a purpose, amen, it exists long before we may even exist. Can you prove that with scripture? I can. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4 and verse 5. This is what God said to Jeremiah. Amen. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed you, before you were a twinkle in your mama's eye, before I formed you, amen, I knew, before you were ever in your mama's belly, I knew you. And he goes on to say, and before you came forth out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you. I set you apart. That's what the word sanctify means. It means set apart for a purpose. Amen. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were ever put in your mother's womb. And before you ever came out of your mother's womb, I set you aside. Why? Because I ordained. I had a purpose. I had a plan from the very beginning that you would be a prophet unto the nation. Well, let me just tell you here this morning that you are not here as an afterthought of God. You have a divine purpose for the Lord. We have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Not just the pastor, amen, not just the worship team, but you, every single one of you, God has a divine purpose for your life. And some of us are not finding fulfillment because we are running from one goal to another goal and not realizing that a goal does not fulfill purpose. What happened to them there that night? Amen. They traded their aimlessness for purpose. And it ignited their life. A goal will give you something to obtain to, but purpose will set the course of your life. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Purpose will set the course of your life. I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that God intended for me to preach the word from the very beginning. And I chased my dreams and my goals and ran all over the country doing my thing. And God just said, that's all right. Ain't none of it going to fulfill you. Ain't none of it going to satisfy. When you get in my groove and you get where I want you and you start fulfilling my purpose, amen, I'll bless your life. I'll give you some joy. I'll give you some peace. I'll give you something in your soul, amen, that'll cause you to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen, amen, amen. They exchanged their fear for peace. They exchanged their sorrow for joy. They exchanged their aimlessness for purpose. And number four, they exchanged their weakness for power. They exchanged their weakness for power. Look at verse number 22. And when he had said these things, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I mean, if I remember what Jesus said about receiving the Holy Ghost. This is what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, you shall receive power. That word in the Greek is dynamos, and it means power like a dynamite. Dunamis, power like a dynamite. Power like a stick. He said, you shall receive dunamis. You shall receive power like a stick of dynamite. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. When Jesus left this earth, he had no intention of leaving an inept, powerless body behind. He said, greater works than these, or greater works that the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. How can we do that? Because he said, when I go to my Father, I'm going to send back the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power, amen, of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive that power, you are going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're feeling weak, he'll exchange your weakness for his power. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power." Let me just share another one with you. Hallelujah. The Bible said he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Acts chapter 4. Did it work? Here's Acts chapter 4, verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Yeah, it worked. He took their weakness. He took their ineptness, and he gave them Holy Spirit power to do what they could not do on their own. He breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I read a story here a few months ago. A lady by the name of Eileen Bradbury. She was a missionary in Zimbabwe, Africa. For 5 years in her area, they had experienced a drought. Her and her family had a little plot of land where they were trying to grow a garden. And she said that she was out one afternoon in the sun, and she was taking her dishwater and pouring it on the plants to make use of the rinse water. And she said that, you know, for some days, even weeks it was, she said that they had hired a young boy in the village to get water and bring it and try to pour on the plants. It would take him from sunup to sundown, and he still would not cover all of the little plants. She said she was there pouring the dishwater on to her plants, and they looked like they were about to die. And she said, "I just simply looked toward heaven and said, 'Please, God, we need rain. We need water.'" She said, "I went back to doing what I was doing," and she said, "Within 5 minutes, the skies clouded up and it began to pour rain." She said, "It rained so hard that it soaked the garden. It soaked the neighbor's garden. It soaked the village where they were." And she said, "I thought to myself, God did more in 5 minutes than we have been able to do, amen, all couple of weeks trying to keep these plants alive." That's what I'm talking about this morning. God can do more in and through you in just 5 minutes when the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in your life than you can do in a lifetime. Just simply allow him to take your weakness, and in your weakness, he said, "I am made strong." Hallelujah. I had a similar experience in my own life. I was holding revival in Northern California. It was late in the fall. It may have even been early December, but it was late down in the year. And I had just a couple of days of revival to preach, and I knew I was coming home. I'd been gone about 6 weeks. And I knew that that drive was about 8.5 hours on good road. And I watched the weather reports, and they were saying, "It's going to snow. It's going to snow. It's going to snow. It's going to snow." And I went to prayer, and I said, "Please, Lord, I'm just ready to go home. I'm spent. I've given, 6 weeks, you know, preaching every single night, twice on Sunday." And I said, "Lord, I'm just tired. I'm ready to go home. I want to be with my wife. I want to be with my family. Don't let there be any snow." And the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he said, "I'll see you safely home. There will not be snow." I headed home that morning, and I mean, you know, the sky was, it was all gray, and it was cloudy, and it was just, it looked like it could come a snow shower any second. I was coming home from Northern California up 299 into Lakeview, Oregon, and across, you know, out there by the huge metropolis of Wagon Tire. If you've ever been by there, I'm sure you've taken notice of the skyscrapers. I came on through Wagon Tire and made it, you know, to Burns. And I mean, I'm moving down the highway. No snow. I got to Juntura. And it just seemed like the skies opened up. And I mean, it was like a blizzard just coming down. And I'm like, okay, Lord, well, at least I made it this far. And then something inside of me just clicked. And I said, no, you said there wouldn't be any snow. And I just looked right out the windshield of the car and I said, not yet. And it stopped. The snow quit. I made it home. It never snowed another drop. I made it home, greeted my family. We went to sleep that night, got up the next morning, and there was 6 inches of snow in the driveway. What I'm saying this morning is in our inability, His strength is made perfect. Amen. If you are here, they exchanged their weakness for power. If you are here this morning and you are feeling weak and feeling like the enemy is overcoming, I got good news. The enemy is no match for the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're feeling incapable, if you're feeling powerless, if you're feeling ineffective, if you're feeling defenseless, call upon the name of the Lord and exchange your weakness for His power. Hallelujah. I'm going to try and close. It's 5 after. Let me just tell you this morning that the disciples were literally changed in a moment when He appeared in that room. Because the living Savior has power to make difference in our life. They exchanged their fear for peace. They exchanged their sorrow for joy. They exchanged their aimlessness for purpose. And they exchanged their weakness for power. If you're here this morning and you are feeling a lack of peace, a lack of joy, a lack of purpose, a lack of power in your life, get in the presence of God. And in His presence, He will make that great exchange. The disciples' lives were never the same after that moment. Their lives were never the same after that moment. I submit to you this morning, when you allow the presence of the Lord into your life will never be the same. Bow your heads if you will, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and glorious name of your Son, our Savior Jesus, I come to you this morning and I pray that you will make the words that I have endeavored to speak relevant to every individual that's here in this house. If they have been feeling fearful, if they have been feeling sorrowful, if they have been feeling aimless, if they have been feeling weak, I pray, Lord, that you will make a great exchange in their life. Give them peace, give them joy, give them direction, and give them the power of your Holy Spirit to overcome. I pray in the name of Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. Yes, 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 yes. God sees that hand. Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. Hands lifted. Stand to your feet all over the building, please. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming back. Stand to your feet all over the building. Let me pray with those that lifted their hand today. Almighty God, Lord, you saw every need and every hand that was extended toward heaven. And I don't know their need, but Father, you do. I don't know if they are feeling a sincere lack of joy, or if they are feeling weak and defenseless, or if they are feeling fearful, or what. I don't know what the case may be. But here's what I know, Lord. I know how your presence impacted the disciples in that room that night. And I am asking you to make that same impact in the lives of these that have lifted their hands. I am asking you, Lord, to bind up broken hearts. I am asking you, Heavenly Father, to restore joy of your salvation. I'm asking you to empower and remove the fear and give them joy and peace in the glorious and mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let them leave this place changed by the power and an encounter with your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it. Slip up your hands all over the building. Come sing.